Please follow along as I begin, and we're going to probably start with the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, and I'm going to read on from there. So John 3:16 and following, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." May God bless his word. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to us through the scriptures, and that the challenge of our Savior is, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life." So, Father, as we study your word today, lead us into the light. Help us to know truth. Help us to trust in your revelation properly interpreted and not our own senses. And we pray that you would be glorified. Father, I pray for Brother Ken Lynch and for Marie, that you would just bless them as both of them get knee surgeries this week. We pray that you would guide the doctors. First of all, calm their hearts, give them peace. We pray that both surgeries would be a success and that both would provide great relief for these two. And we just commit them unto you. We pray for David, that you would comfort David. Thank you that he is getting tended to medically. We just pray that you would comfort his heart and assure him, Father, of the prayers of your people and your love and our love for him. Just minister to David. Also pray that you would comfort the Zito family in their grieving time. Also, I think of the Edna Coleman and her family over the loss of Bill. And pray for the Jenkins family and Judy, that you would just touch her body and heal her. Pray especially for Pastor Craig Griffith, that you would miraculously, Father, we are praying for a miracle because we know that you do that, not by our hands saying words or anything, but just in whatever would glorify you. We lift Brother Craig up to you and pray that you would bless him and have mercy on the family and do a wonderful thing. Show your mighty power through him and through that family. Thank you, Lord, for the men's conference. And we pray for Brother Skip, that you would comfort him, give him your perfect peace. And Lord, please raise up someone, a donor that would be compatible, and allow him to get that new healthy kidney as soon as possible, and allow him, Lord, to not have to go through all this dialysis. And we just commit him to you, and we ask you just to bless everything about this day, and we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may just realize that I had asked Dave to pray. That was a great prayer Dave prayed, wasn't it? Sorry, Dave, I forgot. I'll get you next time. Oh my, this getting old is for the birds. All right, let's turn to John chapter 3. So glad you're with us today. And the guys, just like last year, our guys are charged and fired up. We had such a great conference. Got to meet some precious, precious men, new men. It's encouraging to know that there's other like-minded brethren across Pennsylvania, not just Pennsylvania, other places as well. I'm so grateful for my pastor, Dr. Alan Griffith. And as Jim said, that family. I hope that those of you that were online could hear once Jim got the microphone. So give us that feedback. When Jim gave a testimony earlier, if you were able to hear that, maybe right now you can just type in, "I heard Jim," or "I didn't hear Jim," because we're working out all the kinks. Other thing, too, is that I noticed that during the day when it was really bright out, our curtains were not room darkening. And those of you that are online, from what I just really learned is that you really couldn't see the preacher. It was so different in the evening service from the morning. So we just put room darkening curtains up there. And I'm very curious, those of you that are online watching, if you notice a difference, and like for example, I'm not weighted out as much, let us know, okay? We need your feedback so we can adjust and try to make it as we want to focus when we're preaching the word. We want people to focus on the message and for there to be as few distractions as possible. And so you would help us to do that. Thank you, those of you that are joining us online. And we are looking at John chapter 3. I want to talk today about truth, hard truth, or hard truths. Let's bow in prayer and we'll jump in. Father, thank you for your word. Bless the scriptures to us. We ask your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I almost called this a different title, but the title was taken from a 2006, it had already been taken. In 2006, there was a documentary that actually won an Oscar award, and I love the title, but it's interesting that in that film, that documentary, former U.S. Vice President Al Gore presents global warming as an imminent threat to the planet, and he paints an alarming picture of a future in which mankind ultimately destroys life on this earth. Now, I actually happen to believe in global warming, and I also happen to believe that, I know how this earth is going to be destroyed, and it's going to be through a fire. The Bible tells us that all the elements, this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, just read that, and it's all there. But what I dispute is man-made global warming. There's definitely climate change. In fact, it was noticed years ago when we were all in a panic about global cooling. In fact, there's a video out just called Global Warming, put out by Answers in Genesis. I want to read to you that there is another perspective. Global warming is far more intricate than one 48-minute film can convey, and most people are simply not getting some of the most important information. It's clear that global warming is a complex and emotionally charged issue, one that cannot be ignored in today's cultural and political climate. New claims and counterclaims appear in the press with numbing regularity. However, it is necessary to uncover the basic facts and to understand the assumptions that drive the interpretations of those facts. In the global warming debate, we need to separate fact from interpretation. We hear a great deal about the dangers of CO2 emissions and greenhouse gases, but rarely do we hear the facts behind the hype. Assumptions and beliefs about the past play a major role in shaping our present attitudes. If you are interested in that global warming video, it is scientific and it is also scriptural. In fact, those two words do not contradict. If you think they do, read Dr. Alan Dunkley's book called Science and Scripture. Or it might be Scripture and Science. I think it's Science and Scripture. The name of that movie was called Inconvenient Truth. And I love that title. I love it. It would have been a perfect title for this. But it's not. This message is called Hard Truth or Hard Truths. And what I want to do, the truth can be a hard pill to swallow. It often is. In fact, the famous movie, I don't know, was it Clint Eastwood? I never saw the movie. You Can't Handle the Truth. Is that Clint Eastwood? No, who is it? Tom Cruise says that? Okay. All right, anyway, shows you I don't know, but you can't handle the truth. That's a great saying. And so we want to talk about, because sometimes the truth is a hard pill to swallow. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Apparently that's what happened. I saw a tweet this morning from Thomas Sowell, and he said, "It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance." That is a great statement. I want to read it again. Now, I'm not sure where he stands spiritually, but that is a great statement that is basically what we're going to be talking about this morning. It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. So we're going to look at this text in John chapter 3. Three things. Let me give you the outline. We're just going to jump right in. We've already prayed. Take note. Here's the outline. Number one, point number one, when truth seems untrue. When truth seems untrue. Point two, when deception seems like truth. And then third, when liars deny truth. So look at John chapter 3. Of course, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I hope today that you are saved. That's a Bible term. Don't be afraid of it. Don't run away from it, and don't ignore it. Are you saved? Now, listen to what verse 18 says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And here's the key. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Do you realize that there are souls in peril? In fact, the title of yesterday or Friday's message that I preached at the conference was No Panic in Peril. There are souls that are in peril, but they don't realize it. They don't realize they're in peril. In fact, they don't think they're in peril, and that's an even greater indication that this is they're in such danger. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 19, John 3:19. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. God is telling us there's a natural tendency in every human being to love darkness. And the reason we love darkness, we love secrecy, because we are sinners by nature. And it is not natural for us to come to grips with that. In fact, twice in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, exactly same way in the Hebrew, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man or a woman, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Understand what that's saying. Do you realize that sometimes the thing that seems right, say, no, it just doesn't sound right, or, yeah, that sounds right, can actually not just, it doesn't just say there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are wrong. It says the end thereof, it's death. That there, we can actually be ignorant of things that can lead to our destruction. That's why it is so important for us to know truth. Perfect example. Just pull one, came out of my mind in the Old Testament. You don't need to turn there, but in Jeremiah 27, here's what's happening. Israel is being punished by God. And they have been ordained or decreed to go into a captivity. And God's plan for Israel is that set time of chastisement, like Charlie was talking about in Sunday school. And that was his, the will of God for their life was to stay in an enemy territory and abide under their rule, Babylon. It was not desirable. And while they were in Babylon, Babylonian captivity, their heart was to be back home in Israel. And there were times when it just seemed unnatural. Nobody wanted to be in Babylon initially. And when there was danger there, the instruction from the prophet Jeremiah was, in fact, let me just read this to you, Jeremiah 27, 8. It shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. God is saying, this is ordained that you're going to be under this oppression for X number of years. And the nation that doesn't put themselves under that is going to be judged. And now here's the challenge to them in verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, in other words, there's going to be all these people that are going to come up, and they're going to say, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Their message was what they wanted to hear. And that is the greatest danger for anyone. There are things we want to hear. It makes us feel better. We're inclined to believe them. And now the true prophet of God comes along and says, don't you do that. In fact, in verse 10 it says, they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out and ye should perish. There's a way which seems right. It's wrong. It's dangerous. And folks, there's a lot of people that are in peril right now and they don't even realize it. They're smug in their ignorance. That's why I love that quote from Thomas Searle. It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. Sometimes, you know, we are so proud that we are blinded to see things that are true. And sometimes truth seems untrue. Give me an example. I grew up, and you've heard, I've shared this before. I grew up in a religion that considered itself the true church, and that's what I believed. I was part of the true church, and it is a large denomination, Christian denomination. And I remember as a young boy sitting on the curb in front of my house with my two new friends that I made. We just moved. The neighborhood was new. Our house was one of the first to be put in there. And as houses were coming in, it was all young. You know, it was perfect for a family starting out. I'm a young kid. And I got two friends that just moved in. And I'm sitting there talking to them. And I will never forget. One of them told me, I don't know how we got talking about it. One of them said, I'm Lutheran. And the other one said, I'm Methodist. And I literally to this day, and I was just a little boy, I remember feeling so sorry for them because they weren't part of the true church. My heart broke for them. I looked on them with pity. I didn't know what Methodist was. I didn't know what Lutheran was, but I knew it wasn't what I was. And my heart broke for them. Oh, how sad. Now I am not what I was. Now I'm a Baptist. And the people, a lot of people that grew up in the same religion I did, now look at me and say, oh, he left the faith. Oh, he's wrong. And they really believe that I have gone the wrong way. And they're praying for me. Some are praying for me to return to the fold, you know. Who's right? Can you even know who's right? I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, yes, you can. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. In fact, that verse is so important. Because whether you're listening to things from my mouth or anyone else's mouth that is claiming to present truth, the challenge is let God be true, because God has spoken. Some people don't even believe that, so they don't think they have that gauge. Let God be true, and every man a liar. When truth, and truth can often seem untrue. Second, when deception seems like truth. We're still staying in John chapter 3, but I want to quote Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Because the Bible says, picking up on that last idea that he that believeth not is condemned already. So you just say, well, you know, I just don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe that Bible stuff. I don't believe religion. Religion is just man-made. You know what the Bible calls you? If you don't believe, he that believeth not is condemned already. It calls you an enemy of God. Some people think, in fact, I just read a testimony of someone in a Christian magazine where he said, I've always believed in Jesus. Then I got away from it, and then I got reconverted. You don't get reconverted. You and I start out as enemies of God. And we have to be born again, converted. You can't be born again. You're just born again or you're not born again. Now, sometimes people think they're born again. They pray little prayers and there's no regeneration in their heart. They need to literally get saved. But you and I do not start out right. That's why we have to be born again. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Listen to this one. This is so powerful. If our gospel, that's what gets people saved, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, small g, of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You understand that? There is a spiritual blindness going on where, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, their foolish heart was darkened. And yet you talk to anyone in that condition and they don't see it unless God shines the light on. Again, if our gospel is hid, they don't get it, they don't see it, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, again, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. Have you ever had your eyes opened regarding the truth of the gospel? If not, then your mind is probably blinded, and you're looking at me and you're looking at us and thinking, oh, those silly fools, silly religious fools, oh, they're so simple-minded. And they don't think, they're convinced they're the superior ones. We have evolved from apes. We are superior. Second Corinthians 11:13. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says such, talking about false teachers, people that teach lies and call it truth. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Destruction. Remember the way this seems right? So if you are smug in your truth, and now we have, this is my truth. This is my truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. She has her truth. And they're all right. I'm sorry, but if my truth is right, your truth can't be right. And if your truth is right, mine can't be. For example, listen to this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So either Jesus is the only way, because that's his truth, or he is just dead wrong. You can't accept both. Because he makes it that narrow. Either he is who he said he was, or he's a lunatic. And he's not a lunatic. There was an article, the Pew Research Center came out with this article called The Future of Truth and Misinformation Online. Good article. In fact, if you want to look it up, it's really good. Pew Research Center. The Future of Truth and Misinformation Online. I'm just going to read the first paragraph or two. In late 2016, Oxford Dictionary selected post-truth as the word of the year. So it's a new word called post-truth. And so they selected that in 2016 as the word of the year, defining it as, quote-unquote, relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. Get that? There's now a thing called post-truth. I don't want to believe post-truth. I want to believe truth. Don't you? And what is that? It's defined as objective, or it says, in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. The article goes on. New information platforms feed the ancient instinct people have to find information that syncs with their perspectives. See, this brings out kind of what Thomas Sowell was saying, and what Jesus is saying in John 3, chapter 3, is that we are prone to believe things based upon our prejudices and our presuppositions. There are certain things that we will gravitate to. We want confirmation that what we believe is true, so therefore we are vulnerable to being deceived. A 2016 study that analyzed 376 million Facebook users' interactions with over 900 news outlets found that people tend to seek information that aligns with their views. Whatever you already believe, you can Google it and find support for it. Now, whether it's true or not isn't the issue. And that's the point. This makes many vulnerable to accepting and acting on misinformation. Amen. For instance, after fake news stories in June 2017 reported Ethereum's founder, Vitalik Buterin, had died in a car crash, its market value was reported to have dropped by $4 billion. And it was fake news. He didn't die. But it shows you how powerful information can be, even if it's wrong. When BBC Future Now interviewed a panel of 50 experts in early 2017 about the grand challenges we face in the 21st century, many named the breakdown of trusted information sources, quote unquote, "The major new challenge in reporting news is the new shape of truth," said Kevin Kelly, co-founder of Wired Magazine. "Truth is no longer dictated by authorities, but is networked by peers. For every fact, there is a counterfact. And all these counterfacts and facts look identical online, which is confusing to most people." So let me ask you something. Are you believing truth, a real fact? Or are you believing a lie, a counterfact? And it's the more smug person that says, "Oh, I know I'm right. It feels right." In fact, they go on, or different magazine, different article. Another article in World Magazine called Truth. Here's an example, Ferguson. You ever hear of Ferguson? Listen to this. There's a new documentary out called What Killed Michael Brown. And this article, Truth and Myth in Ferguson. Let me read it to you. Shelby Steele's new documentary, What Killed Michael Brown, ostensibly focuses on the tragic case of a black teenager killed by a white officer in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. And what it tells us about cultural myths, how they develop and why, goes far beyond a single flashpoint. A widespread inaccuracy about the Brown shooting is that he had his hands up and said, quote unquote, don't shoot, just before he died. It's one of the several myths that Steele, a Hoover Institute fellow at Stanford University and long-respected race scholar, calls poetic truth. People believe cultural myths, he says, not because they have examined evidence and found it credible, but because they align with narratives they've already bought into. They feel true. That's the key. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction or death. They feel true. While President Barack Obama's Attorney General, Eric Holder, found no evidence Officer Darren Wilson was motivated by race. But you don't hear that aspect. You don't hear the evidence. You feel the emotion, and therefore you believe the narrative. That's how deception works. I want to give you an example. Oh, man, time. Let me give you an example. And I've shared this before. This is so back many years ago when I was younger, some of you weren't even born, There was a time in Russia where the economy was crashing and the president, Mikhail Gorbachev, was trying to restart the economy. And so they had something called perestroika, which was meant restructuring. And there was a big push by Mikhail Gorbachev and all the government higher-ups, and it was called, the big buzzwords were transparency and openness, glasnost, transparency and openness. And the party line from the communists was, there's a new wave in Russia. There's freedom in Russia. There's no oppression, it's freedom. Now, during this time, this was in the 80s, during this time, Christians like us, there was a prisoner, there was a man imprisoned for his faith. He was a pastor, Baptist pastor in Russia, by the name of Georgie Vince. He was imprisoned for his faith. And because our president was able to work a prison exchange, Georgie Vince gained his freedom and came to America under whatever you call that, protection, whatever that is. And Georgie Vins began to be a mouthpiece for all the persecution that was going on in Russia. And it was widespread. There was no freedom in Russia. Who cares about glasnost and perestroika? That was just what they wanted you to believe. You couldn't believe the government-sponsored newspaper, interestingly enough, called Pravda, which means truth. So, and I remember, every month we got prisoner bulletins. We were praying for men like Pete Peters. We were praying, and I didn't even realize it, for the father of one of our missionaries, and I can't mention the name. We were praying for this person's dad. And we were learning about all these, there was no freedom in Russia. And all of a sudden, there was going to be an entourage from Russia to come to America and go around telling how there's freedom in Russia. And they were going to have some of the Russian Orthodox priests represent, along with some leaders. They were going to come around, and they came to my high school in Westchester, East High School, and they stood up on the platform, and they told all of us Americans, there's a new wave in Russia, there's freedom. Perestroika, glasnost, there's no oppression. We are a different country. And it was the party line. And what they did was they took questions from the audience. But you didn't just raise your hand and they picked on you. You wrote your question out, submitted it, and then they decided who they'd call. Because real freedom, right? We'll pick the questions that we can handle. And a dear friend of ours, Colleen, had a crayon. I just don't think she had a pen. And her question was somewhat lengthy. And so she just wrote, "My name is Colleen. I have a question that really I need to ask it. It's more in depth. I need to ask it personally." And so they're going through all these questions right at the end. And they come to this, what they thought, oh, it's a little girl named Colleen Crowns. She wants to ask a question. It's probably a cute little thing. And so they gave her the freedom to ask her question open-ended. Now, Colleen had the lists from the prisoner bulletin of all the real prisoners at the time in Russia. She had their names, what they were there for, preaching the gospel, and how long they were there. They were setting themselves up. So there's a Colleen here, that has a question, and I think they're looking for a little girl. And a lady, our friend Colleen, raised her hand, and they called on her. Maybe they were like, uh-oh. And she says, "I just have a question. You're telling us that there's all this freedom, and I have names here of these actual prisoners that are being imprisoned for their faith." And she started reading the names. And she should have seen the response. Because, that's not the party line. She was trying to bring out truth, and it was not appreciated. They shut down. They denied her. They shut that down. See, if it's not the truth that we want to hear, then it's not acceptable. Last point. I'm gonna have a few extra minutes. Oh, I still got that? Cool. Thank you. Tala Allah just gave me 10 minutes. This is wonderful. All right. Let's go back to John chapter 3 if you're not already there. So first we have when truth seems untrue. And we just talked about when deception seems like reality. You know, when we're convinced that something's true because it feels true, doesn't make it true. And now finally, when liars deny truth. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. You see, folks, because of our sinful nature, the Bible, here's a truth for you that so many just reject about their own heart. Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's not just my heart. That's your heart. The heart, it's desperately wicked. So because of that, it is not natural for us to come to the light. For example, in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20, it gives an example of the lady that sins and says, I've done no wickedness. Describes a lot of people today. You don't dare call their lifestyle wickedness, even though God does. That's like unacceptable. You're automatically wrong if you condemn anything about anything someone does. Folks, we're getting so bad. I'm not even going to go in that direction. Let me just stick to my point here. 1 John, listen to 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, I have a relationship with God. If we say that, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Do you ever play a game where you hide something, somebody else has to find it, but you give them a little help? As they're walking around looking for it, you go, you're getting warmer. Oh, you're getting warmer. Oh, you're burning up. And that means, you know, they're real close. Or you're like, okay, you're getting warm. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now you're getting colder. And the further they get away from the hidden object, oh, you're ice cold. That means like you're going in the opposite direction. Well, I've learned when you understand the nature of lying, liars, it's like that. It's interesting. I have observed that most people you and I deal with have a certain degree of integrity. And yet there's a few people out there they're liars. And one of the ways you can tell is that it seems that all the people surrounding them are liars. And the further you get away from him, the less liars there are. In other words, they're never wrong. And therefore, all the people around them, they're the ones that are wrong. Isn't that interesting? I find that. If you're a person of integrity, there's those few people where it's like, wait a minute. How come everyone around them are always the liars? And even people of integrity, when they maybe claim that this person did something, it's like they're the liars. It's kind of like that game. How do you know the liars? Well, you're getting warmer. Getting warmer. Oh, there's someone over there that claims that person's a liar. You're getting warmer. You get what I'm saying? You see, the people that are liars, because they will not admit their own lies, therefore, they're the ones that are always accusing other people of lying. And if you find someone where it seems like, wait a minute, why is everyone around you the liar and you do no wrong? Maybe because you are the liar. You see, the liar, folks, that's an identification. It is a character quality. It's their character. Proverbs 26 and verse 24 says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips. That means he puts on a front. He lies. And layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. He's going to cover his hatred. And it's interesting that the deceptive and the person that has hatred is often the one that refuses to see themselves in anything but a wonderful light. Let me give you an example as I close. I have counseled and I have talked to people that have murdered someone else. I've actually talked to people that have told me they killed another human being. You say, Pastor, what kind of people are you hanging around with? It was while I was involved in prison ministry. I actually met not a lot of them, thankfully, but I met a couple people where they admitted they killed someone. Now here's the thing. I have met other people, same context, that literally were convicted of killing someone, and they told me they didn't do it. Which person is worse? Which person is worse? You see, I've met people that have admitted what they did, killing someone. Some it was not intentional, but they came clean. They said, no, I did do that. But they have come to the light, and they have repented. And this is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3. Those who do evil flee from the light, but those who do truth walk to the light. By the way, if you're walking in the light, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. In fact, you got to be careful of those people that come across as perfect, because they're probably not walking in the light. You want to see someone that's humble and honest and is willing to admit their failures. What does the Bible say? The just man falleth seven times and rises up again. The wicked shall fall into mischief. Folks, we live in a day where people lack integrity more and more. My wife and I were in a park this last week, and she stumbled across some money, a wad of money. And first thought is somebody, and it was a significant amount of money that if you lost this and you were walking, it would be a hardship. Now, let me ask you something. If you lost a significant amount of money, maybe it was to pay a bill or something, would you want that person that found it to try to find the right owner? So we immediately, it's a park where there's not a lot of people. We immediately just started approaching people that we saw, and the first man my wife went to, she said, did you lose any money? He said, no. And she goes, okay, because we found some money, And he goes, and this is the response. Guess it's yours now. That's the first response. We are so, it's all about me. Hey, look at my good fortune. I found something. We don't even think about other people. It's all about us. May God help us. Folks, there are some hard truths, like the fact that you need to be born again if you're not saved. And there's other truths, which the more proud we are, folks, the less we are going to be able to be convinced of our error. May God help us if we are so proud that we are not teachable to truth. Let's bow in prayer. Father, help us. Help us as we battle with the hard truths of your word. Help us to realize, Father, that every one of us are susceptible to deception, to believing a lie, because it seems so right. And how easy it is for us to passionately promote and beat the drum for a particular thing that we are convinced is true. Father, help us to realize our nature of being deceived. Help us to realize our proclivity to darkness, and help us to walk in the light. Help us to trust your word and let you be true and every man a liar. And Father, if there's folks listening to my voice right now that have never been born again, they've never repented of their sins and experienced a new birth, Lord, show them that they are lost, that they've believed a lie, and then bring them to the light that they can be saved. And Father, we'll thank you for it. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's